This is Naked Astronomy with me, Dominic Ford, and with Ben Vowsler. Still to come, our guests, John Richer and Sarah Thompson, will be answering more of your science questions.
But now, have you ever looked up at a pristine night sky and wanted to take that image home with you to forever remind you of our place in the universe? Sadly, it's not as simple as just pointing a camera straight up and pressing the button. Taking photos of objects in space, or astrophotography, is a science and an art in itself. To celebrate the best in astrophotography, the Astronomy Photographer of the Year Awards were set up by the Royal Observatory, where Marek Kakula is the public astronomer.
The competition really came about just over 4 years ago. We were starting to notice how many amazing amateur shots were coming online. The development of digital photography and the availability of really good telescopes in the amateur market was making it possible for non-professionals to take pictures that were as stunning as photos taken by really professional observatories. So we thought we needed to recognise this, and we thought the way to do it was in a global competition. And it's gone from strength to strength. We've had more entries this year than ever before.
Photography has been called the art of painting with light. But when the source of that light is many millions of miles away, you may need to use a different set of brushes. For Pete Lawrence, presenter of the BBC Sky at Night and one of the judges at this year's competition, astrophotography is very different to its terrestrial cousin.
Oh, completely different. If you're doing, for example, a deep sky image, it could take you many, many days to actually get it right, to get it balanced right, to get it processed, to get all the calibration in there. For example, if you take a photograph of a deep sky object with a long exposure, what you'll get in there is lots of noise. You'll get lots of background noise, which is like a mottling. You'll get lots of hot pixels, which look like stars, which is very unfair at all. They just disguise themselves as stars. You also get things like dust motes, which appear, and vignetting, where the edge of the eyepiece holder is clipping the incoming light. So basically, to get rid of all that, and you can get rid of all that, you have to do a calibration routine. And that calibration routine needs a lot of effort to get it right. Once you've got the images calibrated, you then have to process them and put them all together and to colour balance them. It just takes hours and hours to get it right. So when you look at these photographs, you think somebody's just pointed the telescope at the stars, put a camera on there. No way. It's hours and hours of work behind them.
There were a number of categories for this year's competition, including deep space, our solar system, and people and space. Each had a winner, and one, an image of M51, the Whirlpool Galaxy by Martin Pugh in Australia, was deemed to be the overall winner. But of course, each of the judges, including Olivia Johnson, formerly of the Royal Observatory, had their own favourites.
I've had favourites from almost all the categories over the years. People in space is always an interesting one because it allows the photographer to be maybe a bit more inventive than it would be if you're taking a picture of a deep sky object that will look the same for millions and millions of years, and to sort of tell stories in the photographs. And I think a lot of the ones in this year's competition have told really compelling stories. I absolutely love the winner of the Our Solar System section this year, of the cloudy, moody picture of the Venus transit. It's one of these events that you wait a long, long time to see. You've heard, I'm sure, loads of people saying that you won't see this again for a very long time. I love how the image itself gives you a sense of the struggle to see one of these once-in-a-lifetime sights. You can see the cloud, and it's a really moody, dark picture, and just this tiny little glimpse of this very, very special event through the break in the clouds. I think it's wonderful.
Chris Warren took that category-winning image of the transit of Venus.
So it's taken with a monochrome camera through a hydrogen alpha telescope, which is a specific telescope for taking images of the sun. It filters out most of the light, apart from a very, very, very small frequency of hydrogen alpha. It sort of sums up what I felt during the event. And there was also, whilst the image was being taken, there was a crowd of other people around me. They were all really anticipating seeing it. We all thought the clouds would get in the way, but we just got this glimpse. And I think the image sums that up really nicely.
For those that don't have their own equipment, there is also a robotic scope category, where people can submit images that were taken remotely using robotic telescopes all over the world. These scopes are made available to amateur astronomers as well as professionals, and often used by school astronomy clubs. Because of that, this year's winner also had a rightful claim to the Young Astronomy Photographer category.
I'm Thomas Reed and I'm from Swindon. I took a picture of the Sunflower Galaxy, which is basically a galaxy which looks like a sunflower. But it's got very high detail and it's in beautiful colours. It used the Bradford Robotic Telescope, which I think is in Tenerife, and I operated it remotely over the internet. And I just kind of clicked on it because I was a bit mystified by it, and I just wanted to know what I would get from it, and I got a really good picture.
The shortlisted images are now on exhibition at the Royal Observatory Greenwich until February 2013. But should they inspire you, how do you get into astrophotography? Pete Lawrence.
Astrophotography doesn't have to be expensive or complicated, although it invariably ends up that way. You can just take a camera outside, do a long exposure with it, point it at the stars on a tripod, and you get star trails. If you have a telescope, which is pointed at, for example, the moon, you can point a camera down the eyepiece of the telescope. You can point a camera phone down the eyepiece of a telescope and take what is quite an impressive picture of details on the moon. So the key here, and this is what happened to me, is that you do something like that and it hooks you in. And then you go online and you find other people who have got the same passion and you gradually begin to learn the processes.
Pete Lawrence from the BBC's Sky at Night programme.